relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story. If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
You're listening to America First with Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald J. Trump.
3 hours simply is not enough. I don't know if 6 hours would be enough, especially when you open this show with the president's son, Eric Trump. If you missed it, go to YouTube, subscribe, hit the notifications bell twice, and you'll be able to catch up on every moment. Breaking news after that with Matt Boyle of Breitbart.com. We now know that a $5 million loan was made by that Chinese energy company, a non-secured, forgivable loan to the Biden family. Not Hunter Biden, but the Biden family. That means it was a bribe. They bought access and much, much more to come. Tonight, just hours away, the president has already landed. He's going to be debating that man, the vice president in the Obama administration in Nashville. I will be giving you, with my friend Chris Coles of the Reagan Channel, my response to that debate on YouTube after the debate. So check that out immediately after they come off the stage. But right now we have an incredible hour for you. We will be joined momentarily by former New York PD Commissioner Bernie Kerik, then John Solomon. But we are opening this hour with a woman who has upended the justice system with her fight for the truth. She is counsel to my friend, my former colleague, my superior, Lieutenant General Mike Flynn. Welcome to America First, Sidney Powell.
Thank you so much, Seb. We could just call this the Sid and Seb segment.
The Sid and Seb segment. I like that. Ladies first, always. Follow her right now. Sidney Powell once. She is a happy warrior, which is what you need when you are fighting the swamp. A single-handed warrior for truth. I'll just start with a simple question. Sidney, where is the case against Mike Flynn?
It is still sitting in Judge Emmett Sullivan's court more than 160 days after the government moved to dismiss it with prejudice, more than 50 days after the D.C. Circuit told him to decide it with dispatch, and now approximately 3 weeks after the hearing.
Is this just playing for time? You've had you filed that request to have it dismissed. The higher three-judge panel said it should be. Then Judge Sullivan played another game. How long can this purgatory last? You're the legal professional. How long can this sword of Damocles be held above Mike Flynn's head?
Well, if it runs in the next week, I think we're going to have to look at filing another mandamus action. This is just unforgivable.
And how is Mike Flynn keeping up? His brother texted me yesterday. We saw that amazing article he wrote for Western Journal. This has taken far too long. What kind of toll has this taken on Mike and the family?
Well, it's been really hard for the entire family. You can't even imagine unless you've actually been under the weight and pressure of a federal investigation how horrible it is. I think they've held up better than most people would because they're such a strong family and they have such strong faith. And so many people, especially in the last year and a half, have rallied around them. It's been an amazing experience to be part of the American people's response to the truth coming out.
We have to do a comparison here, Sydney. Follow this lady right now, Sydney Powell One on Twitter. She is the author of Conviction Machine. So on the one hand, full disclosure, I've said it before, I worked on the presidential transition team for Mike Flynn. I was on his National Security Council team. I was helping prepare the phone calls, writing talking points for the NSC incoming team, the phone calls between the president-designate Donald Trump and his counterparts around the world. That's the job of a transition team. The incoming National Security Advisor is not confirmed by the Senate. He can start his work as soon as we win the election, and that's what he did. The phone call with Ambassador Kislyak was completely above board. Nothing was discussed that didn't fit into his mandate. In fact, we were requesting the assistance of Russia in a United Nations vote that was anti-Israel. That's what Mike Flynn was talking about. He was charged with lying to a federal agent. His family was threatened by the federal agents. And then he ends up in a dock charged with a felony. And he's been standing there ever since. On the other hand, Sidney Powell, we have evidence every single day, more and more, that there was a pay-to-play scheme. The latest breaking news, $5 million given to the Biden family by a communist Chinese company, an unsecured forgivable loan. We have clear pay-for-play emails. We have evidence of crimes. Not one person has been charged. As the person who's there, as the legal representative of somebody like Lieutenant General Mike Flynn, at what point do you say, I no longer have faith in the justice system of the United States, Sydney?
Well, I was definitely at that point until the Department of Justice itself moved to dismiss the case with prejudice. That is exactly what they should have done. It took an extraordinary amount of time to get there, but Attorney General Barr had only been in office about 8 months or so when he asked Mr. Jensen to review it, and we had filed motions that made clear there were significant problems in the case, but we have to give him credit for asking Mr. Jensen to do an independent review of it, because Judge Sullivan had completely failed to live up to his own Brady order, even requiring the government to produce evidence favorable to the defense. That's one of the most stunning things, I think, about this whole case, is Judge Sullivan's failure to act in this case the same way he did in the Ted Stevens case. But then we learned at the recent hearing that the reason he moved to dismiss he dismissed the Stevens case was because, quote, Eric, end quote, asked him to do so. And that referring to Attorney General Eric Holder, who came into office and just a few weeks later asked to dismiss the case against Ted Stevens, promising to clean up the Department of Justice. And, of course, we know it only got worse.
So let me ask the naive question. I'm not a lawyer, but if the Department of Justice, which makes the decision to prosecute, says they don't want to prosecute somebody, why is Mike Flynn still under the power of Judge Sullivan?
Well, the rule under which the government moved to dismiss contains one little clause that says, with leave of court. And so Judge Sullivan has taken that opportunity to transmogrify that into something that requires his significant participation in deciding whether that motion can be granted. That is contrary to all the law in the country, including from the Supreme Court, that even points out that the leave of court provision was put in there to protect the defendant from abusive prosecutions and from the government coming in to dismiss one day after it indicted another day and then waiting for a better time or place or circumstance to charge again later. Well, in our unusual case, most unusual case, absolutely unprecedented case, Judge Sullivan himself has effectively taken up the mantle of the prosecutor. He appointed a friend of his to brief against and argue against dismissing the case, alleging political motivation by the president and the attorney general when the only political motivation evidence in this case, and the record is replete with it now, is that the FBI made up the entire case against General Flynn for their own political reasons to spy on and destroy the Trump campaign and then presidency.
And the last question I have to ask you, and maybe you're not comfortable answering this one, it goes beyond the remit of the incredible work you have been doing, the fearless work you've been doing for General Flynn, and really for all of us who could be so targeted. Why was it Mike? Why did they have to take Mike down, Sidney?
Because he knew everything. He was probably the most informed person on the tactics of the Obama administration. He had been Obama's Defense Intelligence Agency head. He knew about the Benghazi problems. He knew about the rise of ISIS and how Obama turned a blind eye to it. He was going to audit the intel agencies. He knew about billions of dollars being run off books. He knew it all. He was going to clean up the mess.
That's why he was target number one. Please support this man, Mike Flynn, defensefund.org. That's Mike Flynn, defensefund.org. God bless you, Sidney Powell. I wish we had 1,000 people like you here in Washington, D.C. Follow this lady right now. She's a hair's breadth away from 500,000 followers on Twitter. That's Sidney Powell 1, and the book is Conviction Machine. Conviction Machine. Thank you, Sidney, and give our very best to Mike and his whole family. This is America First with me, Sebastian Gorka, member of the President's National Security Education Board. This is the Salem Radio Network. We are live streaming on YouTube, on Facebook, available on Instagram TV, wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, we are hours away from the presidential debate this evening. And right after the debate, you will get my response, my analysis, live on YouTube. Look for America First, Sebastian Gorka.
Listen to him. He's with us.
Thank you, Mr. President. What is it about New Yorkers? If you're getting into a fight, you want a New Yorker at your back. You want somebody like, oh, I don't know, America's mayor or the former commissioner of New York. He is Bernie Kerik, the author of Lost Son, A Life in Pursuit of Justice. Commissioner Kerik, welcome back to America First.
Thank you, sir.
So you have been working overtime. He's joining us. He literally just got off the train in New York. God bless you for phoning into the show. We have every day new information about the Hunter Biden laptop. It broke here on the show about 30 minutes ago that we now have confirmation of a $5 million unsecured, forgivable loan given by the Chinese to the Biden family, moments away, just hours away from a presidential debate where the laptop could come up. We have read the reports, Commissioner, that you were part of the team that handed over that hard drive to local authorities in Delaware. Could you disclose to us why you had to hand over the hard drive from Biden's laptop to the police in Delaware?
Well, we, Mayor Giuliani and I and an investigative team have been going through the hard drive for the last week and a half. And during the course of this, keep in mind there's about 28,000 images on the drive. There's about 60 to 80,000 documents, text messages, emails. There's a lot of material there where we're just over half, maybe at this point, looking at the documents, looking at what's on the drive. But during the course of our review, we came across a number of photos and text messages that gave us an extreme concern about the safety and welfare of a minor child. And, you know, under normal conditions, Sebastian, if I was the police commissioner or a cop in New York City and I came across this, I'd be mandated in that position to report that to the authorities where the jurisdiction of occurrence is. In this case, the jurisdiction would be Delaware. And in Delaware, the state law requires anyone, just not a public servant, just not a cop, but anyone, if you are suspicious of any kind of child endangerment, you know, pornography involving children, anything like that, you are mandated to report it. So as soon as the mayor and I came across this, we looked at the material. We decided it was of the nature that should be reported to the authorities. And I guess about 4 days ago or so, 4 or 5 days ago, we went down to Delaware, met with the authorities in the county where the Bidens reside, turned over the material that we found, a number of photos, maybe 30, 40 photos, I guess. Some emails, text messages that related to what we were looking at, and we actually gave them a copy of the hard drive. We have since learned since then that the county officials turned that material over to the state attorney general's office, and at some point late that evening or the next morning, we understand the state attorney general actually gave that material, surrendered it to the FBI as a part of an ongoing investigation.
Okay, so let's be clear here. A huge, huge trove of information, 28,000 images, 60 to 80,000 documents, emails, and texts, some of which indicated endangerment of minors, sexual endangerment of minors, which in Delaware, if anybody is obliged by law to tell the authorities, and that's why you did your duty. Here's my question to you, Bernie, as former commissioner of New York, as a man who has fought for justice your whole life, that laptop was taken by the authorities in December of last year. Why is it up to you and Mayor Giuliani to do it again now?
Well, listen, I can't, you know, honestly, I can't speak for the FBI. I do know that the FBI had, they had a copy of a hard drive in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and they actually sent somebody to seize the computer, the actual computer, a MacBook Pro from the vendor that did the repairs. They issued a subpoena, I think, on December 9th.
Yes.
They picked the laptop up on the 9th. They gave the vendor a receipt for the laptop, and they took a copy of the contract from when Hunter Biden turned it over to the vendor, gave it to the vendor to be repaired. So they've had the same material we've had since last December. What they've done with it or what they haven't done with it, I don't know. And quite honestly, at the point we found these documents and we found these images, I don't give a damn. I think it's important to that people understand this is something that could not be set aside. This is something that was important enough for us to actually make a trip. We drove down to Delaware to drop this stuff off. Then the mayor went on to Washington, D.C., and I came back to New Jersey.
Now, you say you don't care, but surely as somebody who's witnessed the last 4 years and then the previous 8 years of the quality of justice in America, we just had Sidney Powell and Mike Flynn, General Mike Flynn's counsel lawyer on the show. Do you have no comment about the FBI having that evidence for a year and doing nothing? Shouldn't Americans be concerned that the most powerful law enforcement agency in the world apparently did nothing?
I got plenty of comments, but I don't think you have enough time on your show to get through them. Here's the bottom line. The computer was picked up on December 9th. They knew when they picked up the actual computer, they knew what was on the hard drive. They already knew because they were told from the FBI in Albuquerque. That's my understanding. That being said, why didn't they bring it to the county's attention with regards to the images or the text messages that related to a minor child? Why they didn't, I don't know. Why wasn't there an active investigation into the financial crimes, the FARO violations, and the other things that we've... There's overwhelming evidence on this computer that these things happened. Now, you know, and Joe Biden can stand up there all day long and say, there's nothing wrong, or they did nothing wrong. Well, I think he's got... I think he's got some really, really serious problems.
We will find out tonight. He has done his duty as always. He's Commissioner Bernie Kerik, author of The Lost Son, A Life in Pursuit of Justice. Follow him right now at Bernard Kerik, K-E-R-I-K. God bless you, Bernie. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Your calls next. If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and the battle for 1600.
Portions of America First are brought to you in part by Job Creators Network.
It's ELO. Sorry, YouTube. You just got to wait. So good. And the Queen has recognized Jeff Lynne. Thank you, Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. I can sing on my birthday. Can I hum? I can hum. Mm-hmm. Get back to work, Gorka. All right, here we go. The call board is full. We'll go to your calls momentarily, but I want to give you some inside baseball on this crazy crew we have here. By the way, Eric is coming back to the show. The president said he's doing so well that Eric is being loaned back to us from the administration. So he'll be back on Monday before Mr. G has a heart attack. He's been doing Eric's work for the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks. It's crazy. So you know the difference between a Shadrach and Jeff, I'll tell you the difference. And this encapsulates it perfectly. On the day of my birthday, and I promise this might be the last time I mention it. It might. On the day of my birthday, I arrive in the studio. And what do I find in my place in the green room? Just there in my chair, waiting for us to have our meeting. I have a Scrappy-Doo. It's not even a sticker. It's a real patch. Scrappy-Doo patch. Superb. What a gift. That's from Shadrach, the professor. What do I get on my birthday, my 50th birthday, from Mr. G? A call asking me if he'd like me to activate my AMAC membership. Now do you understand what we have to put up with here, Shadrach and I? But that's who we are. All right, let's go to your calls. Let's go to Brent in Los Angeles, line four. Welcome, Brent.
A very happy and blessed birthday to you, my great friend Gorka.
Thank you. We are in a good mood today. I can hear it over the telephonic wires.
Very much. But tonight, I want our righteous war President Trump to go kick the Democrat Marxists and Media Matters right in their metaphorically malignant totalitarian testicles. Fight them. Not Biden.
I just snorted. Totalitarian testicles. I like that. I'm not sure if that will go down everywhere well. But here's the question for you, Brent. As a man who understands the fate of the nation, of the republic, of our Judeo-Christian civilization's values, isn't the challenge tonight, and this is something I'm troubling with, I'm having trouble with, because I agree, no, my instincts agree with you. That I want robustness. I want, what did you call him, a wartime president? I want that, you know, alpha male to do his thing. But then I go, stop it, Gorka. You're on the team. You're in the choir. You don't need to be satisfied this evening. The people that have to be won over are in the center, are milquetoast. They've been brainwashed into thinking that masculinity is toxic. So what is the fine line? Do we have to rein in the MAGA tonight, my friend?
No, well, this is why what I'm saying. We need to fight them, not him. He is insolent, idiotic, and impotent. I want the president to keep it simple and say he is standing up to the despicable Democrat Party. That is the party of slavery, sadism, and socialism. And the party that has desecrated America with the KKK, Antifa, BLM, Islamo-Marxism, and white supremacy. We have to attack all their ideas and their foundations.
All right. We shall see. God bless you. Thank you, Brent. We're just a couple of hours away now. Both Beijing Biden has landed, and the president landed before him in Nashville. The debate starts at 9 Eastern, and we will be responding live on YouTube this evening with my buddy, Mr. Reagan, that amazing YouTube phenomenon. Both of us co-hosting our responses right after the debate. Go to my YouTube channel, America First, Sebastian Gorka, for our analysis this evening. In the meantime, I need you to help those who are fighting for all our freedoms right now. Not in 12 days' time. But right now, it's the Alliance Defending Freedom. We have a long way to go to hit our targets. Thanks to all of you who have donated already. But I want to get $5,000 to this organization that's fighting for those who are being persecuted for their religious beliefs and having their First Amendment rights curtailed. Please go to my website, sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com. Click on the ADF banner or call 877-412-5888. That's 877-412-5888. SebGorka.com, Alliance Defending Freedom. Thank you to all of you.
Deep in the swamp. First place in your hearts. America First with Dr. G.
Let me tell you a little story. It's about a man who had a crick in his neck. But then he rested his head on one of Mike Lindell's pillow and he woke up without a crick in his neck. It happened to me. But most importantly, it happened to our guest, a great friend of not only the show of the truth. He is the author of Fallout, Nuclear Bribes, Russian Spies, and the Washington Lies that Enriched the Clinton and Biden Dynasties. He is the owner, he is the president, the CEO, the editor-in-chief of an incredible new website, justthenews.com. You know him as John Solomon. John, welcome back to America First.
It is great to be with you, Seb, and thank you for that introduction. And that story about the pillow is true, honestly. 2 years I suffered with a bad neck and 2 nights on the pillow from Mike Lindell, and I was cured. That's an honest story.
Okay, I got it wrong. It wasn't the next morning. It was the morning after that. But
yeah,
that's...
it took 2 days to get me. Yeah, but I think that's a pretty miracle cure, given that my doctors couldn't do it in 2 years.
Find out for yourself. MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A, and you'll get up to 50% off. Trust John. You heard it here. It worked. Okay, one segment isn't going to be enough, but we're going to try. So you have written a story about the silent partner in Sino Hawk. John Solomon, What is Sinohawk, and why is it connected to tonight's debate in just a couple of hours?
Yeah, well, the former CEO, or the current CEO of Sinohawk, which is a partnership company that was created by Hunter Biden, Devin Archer, and a man called Tony Bobulinski, is going to be at the debate tonight. He's going to be a symbol in the crowd with President Trump when President Trump is debating Hunter Biden. It's a powerful symbol because Vice President Biden has refused to answer these questions despite growing bodies of evidence, multiple bodies of evidence from co-defendants to the laptop that Rudy Giuliani did to the emails I've won from the State Department in FOIA lawsuits, that the Biden family had a racket going on. They were trading on Joe Biden's name while I was vice president, and immediately after he was vice president, rolling in big numbers. And this one company, Sinohawk, is one of those companies. Joe Biden gets out of office. It's 2017. They create a company. It goes into business with a Chinese energy company very closely aligned to the communist government. In the preparations for building this company, there's an equity split, and Hunter Biden's going to get 20% of that, and Joe Biden is supposed to be a 10% silent partner. Why is that significant? Well, Joe Biden has said time and time and time again he had nothing to do with his son's business. The CEO of Sinohawk, Tony, says absolutely 100% Joe Biden was a silent partner. I can confirm it, and I know it, because I was the head of the company. I know what was going on. So he'll be in the crowd tonight. He'll be a powerful symbol staring at Joe Biden while Joe Biden, if he gets an answer about his son's business adventures, will have to look that man in the face and say, are you telling the truth or not?
Read the article from Justin News. I've retweeted it from John's account. It's at the almost the top of my Twitter feed. CEO of Hunter Biden tied firm agrees to provide documents to the Senate. John, you are now a media mogul, so I have to ask you from that perch. We've been told for days now, for weeks now, that this is a Russian influence operation. It's not Hunter Biden's laptop, and this is another version of Russian collusion by the Trump campaign. We now have the evidence. You have the story. The Senate, the Bobulinski is out there. We have the FBI. We have DNI Ratcliffe saying there is no Russian aspect to any of this. John, what should your colleagues, your fellow media moguls and editors-in-chief be doing right now?
They should be going through the same emails I've been going through, and that Peter Schweitzer's been going through, and Matt Boyle's been going through, and doing the reporting and finding out what went on in Joe Biden Inc. during the days he was vice president and the immediate afterwards. Remember, this story about China is more than just a family getting rich, though that should be the primary concern we have. The second is that it shows a judgment question. Donald Trump for 20 years has been arguing that China poses an enormous threat to America. Joe Biden was arguing he'd like to make China grow, and it wasn't a threat to America. His family cashed in on it. Then in 2019 and 2020, when the coronavirus came along, he flipped around and came to Donald Trump's way of thinking. So which candidate do you want? Do you want the candidate who was right about China from the beginning, or the one that changed tunes only after he and his family made millions of dollars from China? I think that's the big question that'll be at the middle of this debate tonight.
You're talking about what they should be doing now. What should they be doing with regards to what they said previously about the laptop, John?
They ought to correct the record. They ought to acknowledge that when they went with Adam Schiff's malarkey one more time, how many times has Adam Schiff misled the country the last few years? They should correct the record. They should say, we were wrong, we've been told otherwise, and then they should follow up on the journalism now that they know it's real material and inform the American public. Anything short of that is censorship to the detriment of the American public, the voting public.
You are a professional media individual. You are a true journalist. You're not a politician. And we have a lot of politicians on this show. We started with the president's son. We opened the show with him. Let me ask you from your professional perspective, devoid of any political campaign aspect, do you expect, given the topics that have been permitted by the commission this evening, knowing who the moderator is, Kirsten Welker, who has deleted her Twitter account just days ago, will the laptop even be mentioned this evening? John, what's your expectation?
I don't expect the moderator to, though. I think if she was going to be a real journalist, she would ask a question about it, help the American people pin down Joe Biden on the answer. But I do expect the president to raise it, and long as he doesn't get muted, he should be able to convey the question and create a conversation with Joe Biden. And listen, Joe Biden wants to be the president. He should be able to answer questions like this. He's got to stop using the bogus lines that it's been debunked, it's Russian misinformation. It's not. It is real facts, real emails. His son wrote, his son's business partner, and there's going to be a man in the audience looking him in the eye tonight that can stand up and say, Mr. Vice President, you're not telling the truth, if he doesn't tell the truth.
We shall see. We are just a couple of hours away. In the meantime, prepare yourself for tonight's debate by going to justthenews.com and reading the article from John Solomon on this silent partner who has confirmed that, quote, the big guy in the emails on the laptop who got cuts of the deals is, in fact, Joe Biden. He's John Solomon. Follow him at J. Solomon Reports. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First from the ReliefFactor.com studios. If you are in pain right now, stop and listen. There is a product that tens of thousands of Americans are taking right now to relieve their pain that is 100% drug-free that works. How does it work? It attacks the source of the pain, not your capacity to sense and feel the pain like synthetic painkillers, the actual source of the pain, the inflammation. It has rid me of my nine-year-long battle with lower back pain, almost a decade. I took Relief Factor. 2 weeks later, I was pain-free. You should be the next success story. Find out for yourself by ordering the three-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. Listen to Debron of Massachusetts. I just started taking Relief Factor 4 days ago. My hip pain is gone. I had a horrible time sleeping because of the pain. I absolutely love how I'm feeling. Thank you, Relief Factor. You deserve to be the next Debron. Call 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com. Back with your calls here on America First.
Portions of America First are brought to you by Alliance Defending Freedom.
Early voting in person has started in Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Minnesota, and Ohio, to name a few. The good news is you're turning out in record numbers, and there are many more states where early in-person voting has begun or is about to. To figure out where and how to vote, go to KeepAmericaAmerica.com. The folks at Job Creators Network provide the most up-to-date voting information into information you can count on. In 2016, it was just thousands of votes, not millions, that determined the election. Over 400,000 of you have already gone to KeepAmericaAmerica.com. I want more than a million of you to do so. Let's get organized. Visit KeepAmericaAmerica.com. Commit to take at least one other person to the polls or help them complete their mail-in ballots. Do a little. Do a lot. Do your part. KeepAmericaAmerica.com. Okay, let's go to your calls. Let's go to David, or is it David, in Connecticut. Line one. Yes, David.
Shebastian Bachi.
Bachi? That means I'm an old man. Don't call me Shebastian Bachi.
Well,
I'm 50.
Yeah, I know. You're younger than I am, but...
That's like calling me Uncle Sebastian Bachi.
Yeah, well...
Ring me up and insult me on my birthday
in Hungarian, but my both my mother and father, both sides were Hungarian, but I'm not sure how to pronounce happy birthday in Hungarian.
It's not easy. We had another caller from Los Angeles who did it pretty well for a non-Hungarian speaker. It is Boldog Születés Napot is happy birthday.
I knew there was a lot of bulldogs. I knew Bulldog Ujjavet. Bulldog, cut out that, John.
That's Happy New Year, Happy Christmas. A lot of bulldogs in Hungary, lots of bulldogs.
Oh, I know.
Bulldog is happy.
Now, how do you say happy birthday? Bulldog what?
Születés is birth, okay? Születés. And nop is day, and you've got to make it in the correct case. So it is Bulldog Születés Napot. It doesn't exactly trip off the tongue, David. Not exactly.
No. It's Hungarian. It's a tough language to learn.
Very tough.
I just remember at birthday parties, the family would sing, Üdvözlünk Titeket.
Yes, that means we are welcoming you in the informal, because there are multiple. You think German is hard with two forms of du and sie? In Hungarian, the form of address, you'll enjoy this if you're into language, the correct form of address depends upon male or female, your age, whether you are young or not young, and also whether or not you have a formal or informal relationship with the individual, such as a teacher or a fellow employee. Yeah, it wires your brain a little differently. I think that explains a lot. Don't go anywhere, my friends. William, John, Donald will take your calls at the top of the hour before our next guest here on America First. 12 days to go. Just a couple of hours until the debate. Stay here, and then after the debate, tune in on YouTube for our post-debate analysis with Mr. Reagan. If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.